Welcome to episode 2 of Getting to Know You, a podcast from the students on the MA Radio, Audio and Podcasting course at the University of Sutherland.
My name's Joe and I'm from Liverpool.
I'm Megan Percival and I am from Rosyth, Scotland.
In this short series, you'll be hearing from all of us as we get to know each other whilst we get to know the city in which we find ourselves. It's all new for us and perhaps for you as well. So let's get started.
All right, so we came down to Seaburn to check out Mancello's fish and chips, because we found that in talking to each other that food is a big part of our lives.
Particularly, a good fish and chip shop can really ground you.
Yeah, like a good fish and chip shop is the heart of where you're from. You know, nothing defines home like your chipper. Joe, is there anything like Liverpool specific when it comes to food that you really wish the world knew about?
I mean, I think the big one that's kind of a very open secret is scouse. So scouse is a lamb stew, or it could be really any meat, but it's traditionally lamb.
Okay.
And it comes from it's obviously such a staple that's why we're called scousers.
Okay.
Because we eat the stew.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But as well though, that's an extension as well of how I think a lot of people see food as an extension of like love and sitting around and looking after people, in the same way where a good local chippy's looking after your local community and
totally
doing all kinds. I know, especially in my family, everyone always pulled out their A game because they wanted to feed you up. I'm from a family of feeders, so that's one of the biggest expressions of love that we could have, really.
Yeah, I get that as well. Like, there was nothing that ever united us quite as much when we were younger as like my gran's cooking, or when it was time to head down to Marini's was the big one, and then Papa Jaffer's back in Inverkeithen. Like, the chip shop does just, it makes things feel better. Is there anything like in the fried food world in Liverpool that you would bring to the world?
I would say that in Liverpool we're very, very keen on salt and pepper everything.
Okay.
So salt and pepper chips, but the one thing that I would like to bring to maybe other places in Britain is the idea of like almost a Chinese chippy.
Yeah.
So it's in Liverpool, it's quite common to be like, oh, we're getting a Chinese and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Whereas like I've got friends from back home who are from the south and stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, I said to my mum I was getting a Chinese, and they're like, oh, where are you going or what are you doing? As if it was like a big sort of thing, and you're like, no, it's just a chippy. Like, all the chippies back home do both. It's not just traditional fish and chips. I think everyone was like, oh, we need to diversify.
That's pretty cool. That is really cool.
What about you? What about from Dunfermline?
It's not Dunfermline specifically, but just Scotland. While you put salt and pepper on everything, we put butter on everything. Like, deep fried food is, it just makes you feel great. You can feel your heart swelling, and I don't know if that's because you're about to have a heart attack or if it's just because you're happy.
I was going to say, I've been to Glasgow and Edinburgh quite a few times, and there's a level where, you know, you had a few pints and you've ended up getting a pizza crunch.
Yes.
And you can taste every single bit of the heart disease. So just tell us quickly what pizza crunch is.
So a pizza crunch is like a deep pan 8-inch pizza that has been deep fried to all hell, and it is beautiful. No need for toppings, no need for any of that. Stick it in the fryer and get it in you. While we're talking about pizza, there is one from somewhere else in Scotland that I really want to draw your attention to. I used to have a friend that lived in Bells Hill, and whenever I'd go and see her, we would never bother with any form of actual dinner. It would just be a 3D pizza. If you're from outside of Bells Hill, let me fill you in on this beautiful invention. Large pizza, doner meat, another large pizza, doner meat, another large pizza, doner meat, cheese, sauce over the top of it. 3D, three doner. Get it?
I think that's made me feel a little bit sick.
Oh, yeah. I've never known anybody that can eat like a full one themselves. It comes in like a 12-inch box. This thing is a unit.
Now, I will tell you though, like the one thing though that Sunderland has that I can definitely say Liverpool doesn't.
Yeah?
So we've been sitting on the bench, we've been eating our fish and chips, watching the sun go down over the tide coming in and the beach.
Yeah.
And it's such a different slice of a very different type of city to what I'm used to.
Yeah.
I guess, like, what's it been like for you in terms of the physical change in coming to Sunderland?
It's just weird being somewhere that you don't know anything, because always sort of stuck to Fife and Edinburgh that I know really well. And moving down here, it was like, cool, I need to start Googling where things are again. And me and my friend Hamish, that we moved down here together, we spent a good 3 months trying to find a Chinese takeaway right where we live. You know, it was one of the first things we looked at when we moved down here. You don't know where all the good pubs are. You don't know where the good takeaways are. You know, you don't know the wee alleyways to get home 15 minutes quicker than you would have normally. You're still trying to work out the metro. I think it's just being somewhere that you don't know that hit me, because there's not that much cultural difference between Sunderland and Scotland, honestly.
No, it's, and I'd say the same for Liverpool as well. The stereotype of northern friendliness and northern hospitality does really ring true in a lot of ways, though. Like, I think as much as the city is relatively easy and confusing all at once in terms of the urban planning, like, the people more than compensate, because I get lost on clear days. As a city, I've adapted to it really well, because it's a city that has set itself up to be adaptable.
How did you end up in Sunderland?
I've tried on a lot of different hats over the years. I'm not someone who came onto the MA thinking, oh, I've got this great skill set or love or whatever. I'm one of those who, I think if you boil everything down to its bare bones, most things aren't particularly difficult, otherwise people wouldn't be able to do them. I was working in a job that I wasn't particularly fond of. I'm not going to bad talk the job, because there's good people who work there, and it just wasn't for me. Funnily enough, I had COVID, and he rang me sort of trying to get me to come in and work and be like, oh no, just wear a mask, you'll be fine. I was like, no, but like, I am ill. So I was like, I had it in the back of my mind because I did a little bit of community radio. I really enjoy doing this. I'll explore this a bit more. But you came down from Fife College.
I did, yeah. Fife College and the University of Sunderland have a really good working relationship. One of my lecturers at Fife is an ex-Sparky, is a graduate of the University of Sunderland, who sort of sang this place's praises. He sang the praises of the University of Sunderland and of Spark specifically, and that's what drew me to move down, is that I could have gone to a university in Scotland, but their stations didn't speak to me the way that Spark did. I went back to college because I was fairly decent in a career in sales, but one day it just took too much on me, like the pressure of sales and all the things that come along with it, and I thought, no, I can't keep doing this, I need to do something I enjoy. And oddly enough, I wanted to go into sports journalism, so I went back to college school that way, but there was a radio module on our first year course and I just fell in love with it. That's kind of how I've ended up here, is by losing my mind on the phone one day at a sales job. It led me here inadvertently.
I think it's always a bold move, moving somewhere that you're not familiar with.
Yeah.
But I think for me, like, bravery is an overrated virtue. My godfather lives in Sunderland, my dad's originally from Consett. I've got like strong local links, but obviously because of distance and stuff, I've never really explored the northeast, and that's one of the things that I've been enjoying as well. Sunderland is a lovely city. The sun's gone in now and we're down on the seafront, and you know, all the lights are on, the illuminations, just like really pretty and chill. Like,
I had never even been to Sunderland before I moved here. Knew where it was, knew nothing about it apart from the football team, but that was just in passing. I think there's a bit of it is that I don't have the fondest memories of back home, so anywhere's better than there. Back home, people still know who I was before. I am trans, so people still know who I was before, and they all know my family, and they all expect me to be like my family. Here, people don't have expectations of me. They know what I want them to know, and that's the biggest draw to this place for me.
Yeah, it's definitely a city that, like, minds its business.
Yeah.
Like, no one really, like, it's dead friendly when you need it to be friendly, but no one's like, who's that, what are they doing, what's their game, you know?
Yeah. I don't think this is the kind of place where everybody knows your mum and everybody's got her phone number sort of thing. If you were to be younger here and needed to rebel, I think you would have a better chance of doing it than in, like, so the small town I grew up in.
I think rebellion means more in a small town, though. I'd say my favourite city in the world is my hometown. I will be the biggest advocate for Liverpool in the world, but I'm not there anymore. Sunderland's my new hometown, so now I'm the biggest advocate for Sunderland in the world.
What are you hoping to achieve in your time here?
I just want to sort of obviously develop my skill set, develop my acumen around radio, audio and podcasting. But also, I've always loved stuff like Radio 4.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to sort of place myself in a way where I can go along maybe a career path where I could end up either working at Radio 4 or producing for Radio 4. I've got broad and varied interests, so long as I'm able to you know, talk to people and be creative. I'm more than happy with that, you know. For you, obviously your show is All Things Alt.
It is, yeah. 6 till 8 on Tuesdays, on Spark. Tune in.
Yeah, so obviously your passion's rock music. So how much has rock music and integrating into places been a factor for you?
We saw it literally, half an hour ago while we were waiting on our fish and chips. This band from America that are playing in Newcastle tonight as we record this came up to me and says, hey, do you like metal? And I'm just like, yeah, yes, I do. And we had a really nice conversation with them, and that happens a lot. My love of rock music tends to lead me to other people with the same love. When you've got such a visual passion, it draws people of the same interest, or it just draws interest in general, and most of that's positive. Really what I wanted to come out of my time in Sunderland is, you can look at it in the career sense and the tangible sense of, I want to set myself up to be a presenter at Kerrang and, you know, have myself in a position where I can be the best in the world at what I do. But there's also the side of it that I want to set myself up to just be happy, to just be able to live a happy life, whether that's here, home, anywhere I end up. I hope that my time here serves as a building block towards being a happier person.
I know a guy, and his whole thing is, I want to wake up every day, go to work, but not have to call any man mister. I know I've got bosses, and I know I've got to be decent to customers and X, Y, and Z, but I'm not thinking like, oh, well, you're better than me or whatever, because his passion is his own creative things that he's doing, and coming across people like that sort of inspired me to be like, you know what, the map's not the territory.
Yeah, you say that a lot. What does it actually mean?
You can go in with some form of expectations and prep and be like, right, okay, so if I do X, Y, and Z, then I will go there, there, and there, and end up here. But then you turn up and you might have a map of the Everglades, but when you turn up, it's not the Everglades, it's the forest. The map's not the territory, and it's how you respond. It's about, I guess, pragmatism and outlook, really.
Is there any other wisdom you live your life by?
I always say, oh, I'm just glad to be out the house, and it sounds a bit downbeat, but it's true, you know, like, I'm out the house and I'm meeting people and I'm hanging, you know.
Yeah.
We haven't known each other long, but I feel like we're bonded really well so far. You know, you're like one of my best mates in Sunderland, if Thank not you. My best mate.
The one I've always held in such high regards is that do whatever you want as long as you can live with yourself after it. That's kind of the one that shaped how I live my life.
Yeah, and as well, like, don't be afraid. Like, I'm not afraid of making a mistake. I'm not afraid of having to occasionally go back to the drawing board, because you know what? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. I left a job, I left friends, family, my dog behind. In a year's time, we might be sitting here going, oh, why did I do that? Or in a year's time, I might be like, this is the greatest decision I've ever made. I'm sort of erring towards the latter, and to bring it back to food.
Bring it back to food. We really got on a tangent there.
Yeah, to bring it back to food. Again, I think it's a love and an affection thing. So when I make, I don't know, a big pot of soup and I'm texting you and Hamish being like, oh, I've made this pot of stuff. Do you want to come over? It's not because I'm like looking for any reason I got. It's like, I like these and I want to sort of look after them.
I do say food is one of my love languages, and we have this thing in our flat, the hangover burger. Something I create just out of being hungover and hungry, if you're interested. Burger, mac and cheese, bacon, chorizo, cheese, barbecue sauce, all on a roll. I take that as like one of the biggest terms of endearment.
You dirty gal.
I take that as like one of the biggest terms of endearment I can give somebody, as if I make them that food. Not that it takes me a long time or that it's expensive particularly, but if I share my thing with you, then you've earned my respect. You've earned my love.
There's a Lemony Snicket quote. I'm a big Lemony Snicket fan. It was, when you invite people to dine in your home, what you're actually doing is saying, I care enough to look after your well-being.
Check out Mancella's if you're ever looking for really great fish and chips by Seaburn Pier. Proper, enjoyable, scran.
And as well, like, even if you're not in the mood for fish and chips, come down here anyway, have a wander about. You know, it's quite calming here in the sea and having all the lights and stuff.
I'm a Scot, he's a Scouser. We've been for Scran.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Getting to Know You. It was produced by Joe Kearney and Megan Percival at the University of Sunderland. Our music is from upbeat.io, and you can find more episodes at gettingtoknowyou.sounder.fm.